from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We beat the Rangers, the Astros swept us, so it's not as bad as people are portraying it. It just happens that when we lost 4 in a row or 5 in a row, whatever it is, other teams were winning, and then the standing changed. But yesterday we won. We gained some ground on some teams. From our end, take care of your business and then look around, see where you're at. And we get into September 1st. I always feel like that's when you say, okay, this is what we got to do to make it to the playoffs. Let's try to win the series against the Jays, go to Detroit, do the same thing. And by Monday, we know what we have to do, and we'll take care of the rest.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
It's your final hour here, WEEI Afternoon Show. We are live at Fenway Park, and we are sitting here in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, which is brought to you by our New England Ford dealers. Get going during SUV season by joining the Bronco family or get a great offer on America's best-selling trucks, F-Series, the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. I went out and checked. There's guys out there on the field running around, throwing some warm-ups. I saw the bullpen guys putting the rubber bands on the target and everything,
nice.
Getting all that going. So, yeah, looks like the cavalry has arrived. The Red Sox taking on the Blue Jays a little bit later on tonight. We will hand off to, I believe, Joe Weil in the MassMutual pregame show right around 6:10. And we will have the broadcast of that with Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming coming your way at 7:10 as the Red Sox look to keep their... keep their head above water at the very least. It was a win last night that they very much needed. They're chasing the Twins now, not the Royals. I think Cleveland actually jumped back up because did they play today? Yes, they did. They beat the Royals today. So now that's flip-flopped. But it's still the Twins below them, two games below Kansas City, and we'll see what happens there with Cleveland and the Royals and who ends up winning that division. But it looks like it's going to be the Twins in that third wild card spot, the Red Sox chasing them only four games back. We'll get into those comments from Alex Cora in just a moment, but first let's go to the phones at 617-779-7937. Let's go ahead and start with our good friend Brandon, who is in Boston. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So hearing to talk about, Drake May starting week one. Let's talk about preseason, right? Because Drake May is playing against second and third string players, right?
Sure. Yep.
So, back in college, he was intercepted 9 times and 29 times. I expect that to tick up 10 times higher because he's going to play against first string players, right? And let's talk about Joe Milton, right? Joe Milton had 5 interceptions and 16 sacks, right? Mm-hmm. Drake May had 9 interceptions, 29 sacks. Mm-hmm. Ratings are pretty similar, 147 to 149. If anything, if Jacoby, goes down, I'm starting Joe Milton over Drake May. I'm trying to figure
So you think Joe Milton's better than Drake May? Brandon.
He's scrambling for his life.
Brandon,
Jeez. Have you watched?
I had to hang up on it. He wasn't. We have a conversation. You know, you say something, I respond to the thing you say.
Yeah, but I know his shtick is.
And
stats.
He's just, bah, 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 bah.
He just studies the stats and he reads the back of the baseball.
Did you see Sunday when Joe Milton came into the game and immediately threw an interception, like right away? Did you notice that? I mean, that happened.
When he runs a play and it's a handoff one way and he goes the other way,
right?
That's
or that
part of the operation,
yes.
Or I would just say he's a guy that was at Michigan and at Tennessee and is really it's never clicked.
No.
There's a reason he was available late in the draft,
right?
Because if you just measured physical tools, size, athleticism, athletic ability, arm strength, he's at the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
The issue comes with actually playing the quarterback position.
Right.
You know, changing up his pitches. He throws a lot of fastballs. So if it's me to you, it's going to be a fastball.
Mm-hmm.
If it's me to the beer concession stand out, it's the same throw to him. Like, he doesn't change that up. Like, I mean, come on, start Joe Milton. Now it's officially silly season. Also, I'd like to point out, every snap Jacoby Brissett took was against the backups, too.
That's true.
No team played
Brissett
their starters.
Ones, yes.
No team played their starters against Patriots, so they all played backups. Now you can say second string, third string, where it went as the games evolved. They did not play starters, and when they played starters, it didn't go very well because it was joint practices.
Yes, and the Eagles sacked them about 500 million times, so neither one of them even got to throw a pass, basically, is what it seemed like there, because they were immediately guys in the backfield, and that's the way that was. Now, they weren't actually hitting them, but still, that's probably a better indication, I would say, of what it's going to look like against the ones. When it comes to good teams, you know, maybe when they're playing Washington, I don't know if they play Washington this year, but like when they're playing bad teams, it may not be quite as dramatic. But against the Eagles of the world, or you know, any team with a good defensive front, the Jets, whoever, like,
yeah,
you're going to be running for your life, whoever you are, whether you're Joe Milton, Jacoby Brissett, Drake May, or you know, not Bailey Zappi, but anybody else. I mean, that's the reality of it. That's what it's going to look like. But yeah, starting Joe Milton, come on.
Now he may play.
College box score stats don't. I mean, who cares?
If we're right about the offensive line, Joe Milton may play.
Oh yeah,
a lot of teams started three quarterbacks last year.
Yep.
What was the total? Like 70-something quarterbacks across the league? So
yes.
I don't rule out.
A lot of guys got hurt, yeah.
Yeah, I don't rule out the possibility that Joe Milton can play. I'm just not willing to suddenly say Joe Milton. So you think Jerod Mayo and Alex Van Pelt are morons because they made a clear divide this summer. It was Drake May and Jacoby Brissett up here,
mm-hmm.
and it was Joe Milton and Bailey Zappi down here. They told you that
right.
in the first game when we all bitched that Drake May didn't play enough. Well, Jerod Mayo was like, it was part of the plan. We had our first two. We wanted to get their feet wet, and then we were going to let the other guys play. He told you right there, we have two that we think are real quarterbacks, and then we got the other guys. One of those guys is now gone. He was cut. He's on a different team. And the other guy is Joe Milton, who's a developmental project, and everybody knows it.
Yep. So sorry, Brandon. Don't think it's going to happen. Let's go to my favorite ex-con, AJ in Dover. Hello, AJ. How you doing?
How's it going, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Not too much. So just bear with me. I'm not going to say that I'm not like a hardo sports fan when it comes mm-hmm. to Boston sports, but I completely readjusted my reality the minute Tom Brady walked out of that door, you know, and I knew I was spoiled and I knew we were in for a bumpy ride. So you could look back and say they should have done this or that, but like, yeah, I want to be like, they should have, you know, signed Jameis Winston and chucked it all around and stayed competitive instead of Newton. You know, or, you know, don't trade back.
They could have had Jameis that year. You're right about that. Yep.
And then, you know, I would have drafted Love.
Now, your phone's breaking up, AJ. Thanks for the call. I'm going to let you go. Just real quick. I mean, I don't want to get into too much revisionist history here. But after Tom Brady left, you had the 1 year at Cam Newton.
Yeah.
And then you had a rookie year with Mac Jones
mm-hmm.
that was one of the, I think, most misleading benchmarks in the Bill Belichick era, because after that season, not only did we all think that Mac was the future, Mac was going to be the guy who led this team into the next generation, we all also thought Bill Belichick is still the man. Bill Belichick can do no wrong. Bill Belichick found his next guy. He found him right away. He's still a genius. What did Ryan Clark called him, God among men or whatever after all that? I mean, it seemed like the next generation of Patriots football under Bill Belichick with Mac Jones was going to be maybe not as successful as six championships in 20 years or whatever, but it was going to still be competitive, was still going to be a positive thing. People were still going to flock down there. Mac Jones was going to be a superstar, and Bill Belichick was just going to be this icon forever who could ride out into the sunset on his own terms whenever the hell he wanted to. You know, lifetime pass. And then 3 years later, none of that was true anymore. None of that was true about Mac Jones, and Bill Belichick was fired and deserved to be fired. And that's sort of, I think, you know, revisionist history. Well, when Brady left, that's when it all fell apart. Not necessarily. There was that 1 year where it looked like the Patriots were just going to keep on being the Patriots, and they had found their guy, and this was going to be, you know, the next generation. And why? Sorry, Jets. Sorry, Buffalo Bills. Sorry, all these teams that finally thought the witch was dead because Brady left. They're still the Patriots, and Bill's still the man. What are you glaring at?
I'm sorry, I was very distracted. Something crazy is going on some tennis match on the TV behind you. The woman, there was a serve, and the woman hit it into, like, the left field bleachers. Oh. I've never seen anything like it, and now she's screaming at the fans. I'm guessing maybe somebody made a noise when she was hitting or
someone
something.
Someone said, miss it!
But she's, like, pulling a Tiger Woods. Remember when Noonan. She used to freak out when people would have cameras and they'd click and stuff?
Yes.
She was pulling a...
She was mad.
Yeah, she had a hissy fit. Anyway,
she
back
had a
to
little,
your...
John McEnroe meltdown there.
Yes. You're absolutely correct. Like, the way that transition was sort of trending and happening, and Bill thought he had his next quarterback, and he, you know, everything had been about Brady for it, and now we're going to do it for Mac and support him.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a mirage.
It was not to be.
And it was a mirage that some of us kind of...
I bought into it.
I didn't totally
I wasn't calling
buy
him
in.
A God,
I thought you had your quarterback.
Us, yeah.
But if you remember, the middle of that year, Cold Hard Football Facts did like their Super Bowl predictions, and everyone had the Patriots coming out of the AFC.
Cold Hard, that was Kerry Byrne, right?
Yeah. And they were like the number one seed, and like all their numbers told them the Patriots are the best team in football.
Right.
And then it fell apart. Like, their numbers didn't tell them they were playing backup quarterbacks and bad teams, and every team they played got hurt and lost their number one running back and lost this and lost that. And that was one of the great fraud teams that we've ever seen. They go into the playoffs, and then what usually happens to frauds is they get exposed at some point, and they were exposed by the Bills, and then all hell broke loose with the coaching staff and Mac and everything that fell apart after that. But just getting back to this year, they probably could have done some things differently. Don't you think they're approaching this as a true teardown rebuild? Like, they're losing for the sake of
they're starting Jacoby Brissett, so yes.
Like,
yes, I do.
I think their priority is to have a second top five pick,
I think that's...
I don't know. People get mad if you say tanking and whatever. I'm not saying they're tanking. They kind of stink. They have a bad roster. There's too many holes to fill in one off season with one.
Do you agree with that? Do you think a seven wins is the worst thing that could happen to this team?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. No. I think they need a lot of talent. I think they need to pick.
If May plays and they win seven games,
I'd
be happy.
Because then I think he's still swimming upstream. I think he needs the Joe Burrow. He needs to get Jamar Chase, or he needs to get, you know, the left tackle that is going to be his guy for the next 10 years. I think they had too many holes at obvious, because now you can even add in pass rusher as a marquee position where they got rid of Judon. They probably need that. So, yeah, I think the best thing for this team is to lose. The best thing for this team is to go into the offseason with a top five pick in every round, probably number one overall, and $150 million to spend.
All right. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got open phone lines. Room for you here on the WEEI Afternoon Show. Here's Stiz to tell you what's trending, and then back to the Red Sox right after this.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up on what's trending one last time before we get out of here on WEEI and WEEI.com. Trending brought to you by Butchka Ski and Bike. The Red Sox snapped their five-game losing streak last night. They beat the Blue Jays 6-3 at Fenway. Jaron Duran with a home run in the first inning. He made a little history in the process. He became the first player in MLB since 1901 to record 40 doubles, 10 triples, 20 home runs, and 30 stolen bases in one season. Greg Weissert got the win for the Sox. The two teams will run it back again tonight. First pitch at 7:10 from Fenway. Brian Baio expected to take the mound for your Boston Red Sox. He'll face off against Chris Bassitt for the Jays. WEEI will have our Mass Mutual pregame show for you starting just about an hour at 6:10. Don't forget, you can catch both the pregame and the game right here on WEEI, or download the Odyssey app and take us wherever you go. The Patriots now have their official 53-man roster after yesterday's cutdown. And head coach Gerard Mayo met with the media earlier today when asked if the team had decided on a starting quarterback for week one. Mayo said that the decision has been made but would be announced tomorrow. Trending brought to you by Butchika's Ski and Bike. Hey, skiers, boarders, and bikers, don't miss Butchika's 50% off Labor Day sale this Friday through Monday. Head to Butchika's Ski and Bike in Salem and Butchika's Bike in Nashua for the best tax-free deals on skis, boards, bikes, and battleware. Don't miss it. Visit Butchika's Ski and Bike today. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com. More of the afternoon show with Arcan and Hart coming up.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
...617-779-7937 is the phone number. It's Arcand, it's Hart, it's WEEI Afternoons. As we get you ready for Red Sox baseball, coming your way in just a moment. We played that Alex Cora clip a while ago, and then we got sidetracked with the Patriots, but I do think that if you're a Red Sox fan, mad at me for declaring him dead however long ago that I did it, you got to feel pretty good about that win last night. It was the type of win that you sort of look at and think, okay, the Blue Jays aren't a great team, but they did just kick your ass twice. One was the second part of a game that got rained out, and then a real game where it really didn't look like you were very competitive at all. And you bounced back. You got up off the mat. That was something I think we were all a little bit worried about. We all remember September last year where they just kept falling further and further and further. And every time you thought, all right, this is the must-win game, this is the one they need, they just lost again and didn't just lose. They got their asses kicked. And then just called up all their minor league players and stopped trying. So, I mean, we're not there yet. I'll concede we're not there yet. Do I still think they have a chance at the playoffs? Personally, no, I don't. I'll be pleasantly surprised if they do. I think it's better for us and better for everybody if they do. I don't think they will. But I do feel a little bit better about them chasing the Minnesota Twins now than I did with the Kansas City Royals, who, by the way, beat Cleveland today. Or, I'm sorry, Cleveland beat them. and they just flip-flopped in the standings. So, yeah, you're still chasing Minnesota. Those two are probably going to be going back and forth. Cleveland and the Royals is there in a series now. But, yeah, Red Sox fans, if you haven't thrown in the towel yet, you still got something to cheer for here. You still got something to look forward to. And you got Detroit coming up next. You got the White Sox, I think, next week. Like, there should be a nice amount of wins here for you if you're really thinking about climbing back into this race. It shouldn't be impossible. I don't think it's likely. I'm not betting on it. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's not impossible.
You went from labeling them done to now looking like, hey, you got the White Sox coming. I'm not saying, but I'm saying. And I think
they're going to beat the White Sox, I hope.
We'll see. I think this team,
if they lose to the White Sox, then I'm going to feel very vindicated. Let me put it that way.
They're the ultimate tease.
Right. Well,
you're all over the map because you told me they were done and then they were not done. And
I never said they weren't done.
So they're done.
Now again that
they're
I still
toast.
Think they're done. I think that they're not going to make the playoffs.
They are absolute toast.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'll be happy to be wrong, but I've said that and I've been consistent.
I think they're not toast and they're not going to make the playoffs. I think they are the ultimate tease team. I think they've done this all year. This is kind of how they've operated.
They're not going to make the playoffs. So you think they're done?
Yeah, I do. But I never thought they were making the playoffs.
Okay.
Because I never thought they were good enough. I never thought it was sustainable, the way they were playing. I didn't have a lot of faith.
I thought it would have been if they had picked up a starting pitcher other than James Paxton and also a right-handed power bat and maybe better relievers than the two scrubs.
Right. Then they would have been a good team.
Right.
They weren't good enough as constituted. That's why I didn't think they would
make the playoffs. Well, they would have been competing with the other teams that also went out at the deadline and made those type of moves and I think made themselves better. I thought they were all kind of equal. I thought the Royals and the Red Sox were about equal. I didn't think there was a big difference there. Houston had a terrible start to the year. They started playing better and then they went at the deadline and they loaded up. The Red Sox could have done that. And should have done
sure.
that. And they didn't.
But I didn't believe Tanner Houck was going to be his ERA was like one.
It was like in the high ones, yeah.
Yeah, it was like ridiculous. It was Pedro-esque ERA.
I mean, it's still in the low three. It's like 3.06.
Yeah, I know, it's fine.
Right now, so that's
but
fine.
He's had his lumps to get to that number.
Yep.
And I never thought a lot of it was sustainable. Even Duran, I had doubts about. Now, he's been more sustainable than I probably expected him to be. But to me, the MO of this team has been all year long, like, not quite good enough to get over the hump, not quite bad enough to give up on, and just sort of bouncing between those little walls, like one of those Pong games, like
yeah.
back and forth. But I never really bought into them, never really. But once the season started, they were better than I thought in the totality
right.
for the season. But once the season started, and Rich Keefe got mad at me, I compared him to that girl that likes attention but really has no interest in you,
yeah.
but keeps you around for the attention because mm-hmm. you're good for her
Strings
ego.
Brings you along,
yeah.
of course.
See, you're more
receptive. I know a lot of girls like that. Yeah.
You're way more receptive to that comparison than he was.
A big hunk like Rich Keefe yeah. probably doesn't even know what you're talking about.
That's true. Yeah. That is probably true.
He was probably, what do you mean? The girl who doesn't like me, every girl likes me.
Like, the Red Sox were dead and buried, and then they win a game, and you're like, well, maybe they're back, and then they'll win a couple more, and then they'll win a series and chip away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's why when they were five down, I told Rich, oh, they'll get to like 1.5 at some point here. Just close enough to tease you into believing, wow, they could really overcome this deficit, and then it'll be back to 4. And first of all, we need to address Alex Cora's understanding of the standings when he
yes.
said this was a little overblown.
Uh-huh. Can we play that? Do you have that clip again? Can you play that again, Stiz, if you missed it? And we both missed it in real
missed
time.
Missed it real time, but it's gold
on the second time around. Here's Alex Cora. And his description of how things maybe aren't so bad, and this is just, you know, a blip on the radar. Let's hear that again.
We beat the Rangers, the Astros swept us, so right. it's not as bad as people are portraying it. It just happens that when we lost 4 in a row or 5 in a row, whatever it is, other teams were winning, and then the standing changed. But yesterday we won. We gained some ground on some teams. From our end, take care of your business, and then look around, see where you're at, and we get into September 1st. I always feel like that's when you say, okay, this is what we got to do to make it to the playoffs. Let's try to win the series against the Jays, go to Detroit, do the same thing. And by Monday, we know what we have to do, and we'll take care of the rest.
So we lost 5 in a row. The other teams were winning games.
Yeah, so the standings changed.
The standings changed for some reason. I'm not like, sure. You know, they just
not as bad as it looks.
Open the paper one day, the standings were different.
You know, it's not our fault they were winning while we were losing, so
right.
to speak. I thought that was one of the sneaky, funniest descriptions of how standings and things work. It's like...
I enjoyed it.
You know, it's not that we were getting killed. It's just, you know, we fumbled and then they scored and... Then we fumbled again, and then they scored again, and all of a sudden it was 21-0. It's not like it was 21-0 game, really. Well, that's how scoreboards and standings work. But
generally, yes.
No, in one sense, I kind of agree with him. They're probably due for a little win streak at some point here where they will chip away. and yet are they good enough to get over the hump? And this is what I, you know, the I brought it up with Brad Foe yesterday, sort of the sustainability.
Yeah.
If you were going to say, if you turned hopeful and didn't believe they were done, what would you hang your hat on to say this is what they do well enough over the final 2 weeks of August and September? This is an aspect of their team they're going to lean on to win consistently.
That's a good question. I would have probably said the offense, but the offense hasn't been great lately.
Nope.
The starting pitching's not something you can say that about, and the bullpen's been a disaster. So at certain points in the year, all three of those things were major strengths on the team.
Right.
The starting pitching in April and May was ridiculous. The bullpens have strong most of the first half, and the offense, since the second half started, you know, after the All-Star break,
yep,
was tremendous. But, you know, you remember the way things went. They had that crazy run going into the All-Star break. They went like 17-3 or whatever it was going into the All-Star. They were a wagon there. It wasn't 17-3, but they had a crazy, crazy mm-hmm. run. And then once the All-Star break was over, they came out and looked like a different team.
Right.
And then suddenly it's like, all right, this bullpen sucks now. You better go out and address that. When really what the main issue was, I thought, was that their starting pitching was too thin and their lineup was too lefty heavy.
Right. And he agrees.
Right.
Because that's why they don't win at Fenway Park.
But instead of addressing that, now suddenly they had to address the bullpen. So I think at different points in the year, you saw all those things be strengths. They could be again. It's not impossible, but they're not right now. Right now, I mean, everything's kind of in suspended animation. Like, nothing's really working.
And I think that's as difficult as it can be in any sport. When you don't know by whatever we are now, 80% through the season,
mm-hmm.
what you're good at and what you can rely on. And then, you know, I have to figure out the bullpen, but I know I'm going to get six innings. Well, I don't. Do you always know that every night? You don't know that
nope.
every night. Or, yeah, if, you know, I know we're going to score seven runs a night. So if I can keep, you don't know that. So I think that's where, again, they don't have anything to hang their hat on to say, this is the reason why we're going to go on a run here. I hope they do. I hope you and I are both wrong. I hope they are a playoff team, because for us, the show, for New England,
mm-hmm.
because we're starting Patriots season where it used to be, okay, we'll just turn the page to the Patriots
right.
and go watch them blow doors off people and, you know, put up numbers and be fun and have entertaining. But if the Red Sox aren't what we're talking about and the Patriots are what we're talking about, it's not going to be a positive topic.
No, it's definitely not. And that's too bad, because there was a really nice handoff back in the summer from the Celtics winning the championship to the Red Sox getting
yep.
hot. And they went 18-8 was how they finished the first half. And that was right around when the Celtics won the championship, right in the middle of June. So they were 35-35, and then they finished the first half 53-43. So that's significant.
Now we have floundering handing off to fledgling.
Right. You know, now you got this team that sort of, well, we'll see what happens in September. If last year's any indicator, it's not going to be pretty, and they're going to hand it off to even a less pretty New England Patriots team, and that's going to be a tough transition going into the fall.
But the Celtics are coming.
That's true. We got basketball's
around the corner.
We got a couple of months, and the Celtics will be back. 617-779-7937. There's the phone number. Let's go to the phones and talk to Coach up in New Hampshire, who has a Red Sox thought. Go ahead, Coach.
Yes, two of my favorite guys, Christian from ESPN New Hampshire.
That's right.
And Andy Hart, you just know football and love it. I think you're coaching high school. I'm not sure. I myself am back in. I'm at New England College in Henniker. We brought football back for the first time in 50 years.
All right.
Pretty exciting.
Nice. Here, congrats.
How's the team looking, Coach? How's the team looking?
You know what? well, good thing we hit the transfer portal pretty hard, but otherwise, some of our straight freshmen are doing a nice job, and we've got probably about 25 New Hampshire kids to try to make the program a bit homegrown. We're going to be okay. We're about a week away from our opener. Anyway,
all right, very good. Good luck.
Here's my Red Sox take. For some reason on Twitter the last 3 weeks, I've seen it come up like a few times. Trade Jaren Duran while his value is so high. And here's what I want to say to that utter nonsense. What are you trading him for? Are you not happy that he's the first player since 1901 to have 40 doubles, 15 triples, 20 knocks, hits almost 300, runs like a deer? Like, what are you going to get? Are you going to be guaranteed to get a Jaren Duran back? You already have him. Or do you want a starting pitcher that only affects the team one out of every 5 days? Yeah, he may be an ace, guys. He may be an ace, the pitcher you get, but We're talking about a leadoff batter that's a fixture in your lineup every day. I admit this. I love Duran. I loved him 3 years ago. I know he's a bit of a space cadet. I just think he's generational and different. And I just was wondering, why would someone want to trade him? Thank you, guys. You do an amazing job.
Thank you, Coach. Thanks, Coach, for the kind words, and thank you for the call. I'll say this. I'm not pro-trading Jaren Duran, but you can make an argument for it. You can make the argument that this team already has a pretty good outfield and a couple of good outfielders coming up through the system. All right? You know, so eventually, maybe they won't turn into Jaren Duran, but you're going to have a crowded outfield. You're going to have guys that you feel. Roman Anthony's an outfielder. He's 19. So, like, you had Sadan Rafael is a natural outfielder. They got him in the infield now, but, like, you know, there's room here. Willy Abreu, like, you have a pretty good outfield. And you will continue to have one, I think, and they think, because this team is very much, just dead set on bringing these kids along. So there's something to be said for that. You don't have any pitching. You know, you don't have any pitching in the minor leagues. You don't have anybody that you're going to call up and be your ace. If you can trade Jaren Duran for that, for an ace of the staff, then that's something I would listen to. I don't think I'd do it, but I'd listen to it for sure. Jaren Duran's a great player, and he's building off of the success that he had last year, and this year he's one of the best players in the league. He's a top five MVP candidate in the American League, according to several sports books. So, you know, like, that's, I don't take that lightly. But I do think that in terms of the way this team is built and the way it's comprised, you don't know that you're necessarily going to get someone who can do what Jaren Duran's doing, but what Jaren Duran's doing right now isn't necessarily leading to great success for the team. If you brought in an ace starting pitcher, who I know only affects it one out of every 5 days, but you want an ace starting pitcher on your team, which I agree with you. I don't think Tanner Houck, I don't think this team has that as good as Houck is. Houck would be a great number two. But that's the argument I would make. I still wouldn't do it, but I'd sit down and debate it.
I've listened, and I want no part of your argument, especially this, whether these two things are tied together or not. A place that traded Mookie Betts and what he brought to a lineup and an energy to a ballpark, then trading Jaren Duran, who, from what I see, is the closest thing you've had to Mookie in terms of engaging fans and young fans and the way he's viewed. He has taken Red Sox Nation by storm over the last year plus. He has quite a following. For them to do that, and then in addition, he's a great player who the manager just said, yeah, he might be our MVP this year offensively, and they've been a pretty good offense for large portions of this year. And I would just say this, if I have even close to an option of trading the core four, the big three, Mayer, whoever, I'm trading those guys. Jaren Duran.
I would do that too.
Jaren Duran has done the hard part. He's proven he's a major leaguer. He's developed at the major league level. He's gotten better. And I don't know if he's generational. That feels a little strong.
Yeah, like
maybe.
Is he Mike Trout?
That feels a little
even
strong.
Even Mookie Betts, like, you know.
But he's
like,
really good.
He's very good.
And I think he's a core part of what suddenly feels. It's what I argued to you yesterday, calling this season a success. He's a core part of the foundation moving forward. That you finally feel like you laid some foundation, and now you can put some studs up and maybe build a house on top of that. He's a big part of that. Now you're going to trade him away for an arm, which I agree with you. An arm is where they need to go. They need to find an ace. But I can't do that through minor league trades, top prospects. You know, if we believe Craig Breslow.
They could have done that this year with their minor league prospects.
People were lusting after, and he was all excited that there were more names that people were constantly talking about at the minor league level. So utilize them. Trade the prospects, because this guy has proven he's not a prospect. He's a legit star major leaguer.
Yeah, agreed. Right now, Roman Anthony, who is 20 years old, not 19, is called up to AAA very famously. Him, Meyer, and the other guy. Who's the other guy that got called up to AAA?
Teal,
thank you. You also have Christian Campbell, who is sort of a hybrid. He plays outfield, but he also has some experience on the infield. Brandon Montgomery, who is at single A and is the fourth, number four ranked prospect in their system right now. And Miguel Blaze, who is the eighth ranked prospect, who is in, where is he? He is in single A still, and he's 20 years old. So, I mean, you know, who knows if any of those guys are ever going to turn into anything. They probably won't turn into Jaren.
We know Jaren Duran is good. We know Jaren Duran was the MVP of the All-Star game.
Yeah.
We know it works here, even though it looked like it didn't work here. I continue to marvel at the turnaround he's made at Fenway Park and everything that goes into his whole being. He seemed like a guy who wasn't cut out for Boston. Now he feels like he might be the perfect guy for Boston and the way they play. So, yeah, I think that's borderline crazy. I mean, unless you –
I'm not doing it. I'm just saying I'd listen to it. You know, I'd listen
to it. If somebody had an ace, a young ace pitcher, like, yes, I would consider it.
Chris Sale?
No, not Chris Sale.
Not Chris Sale. Okay, sorry.
But a young ace, you have to listen, because the guy who used to host in this spot, Glenn Ordway, told me once that it's all about the pitching.
Right.
And that is true.
I remember him saying that a few times, famously.
Many times.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. How do we even get to that? He said he'd seen a lot of people talking about trading Jarren Duran. I saw people talking about that after his thing with the fan, right? You know, is this guy a liability?
Yeah.
Is this guy, is he going to get suspended? Can he control himself? Is he too much of a hothead? That sort of thing. And I think at that point, maybe it was a little more relevant. It was a little more topical. I haven't heard many people saying that lately.
No, and I would be careful, Coach. Like, I fell for it. I think we both fell for it earlier. There was, like, these Twitter weirdness about Mike Onwenu at left tackle, and, like, it never happened. I checked in with some reporters. You should be careful what you're reading on Twitter and social media and the internet. It's quite often not true, especially these days with AI.
With AI?
I'm falling for the videos. There was a panda video the other day. I forgot what it was. It was, like, a panda doing something really cool, and then it was, like, clearly an AI video.
It was a panda
petting a cat, I think, like a house cat.
They were going to say it was, like, surfing or something.
It was really cool, and it's like,
I don't think this is real.
Yeah, I don't think it is real, and it wasn't.
I don't think a panda can surf, and why is he wearing a tuxedo?
Right.
That's weird. I sort of feel like the AI pictures, whenever I see an AI picture, I know it's an AI picture. You know, like, I feel like there's always some sort of tell if there's, like, text or something, or the hands are weird. There's, like, not enough fingers or something. There's generally, like,
that's a giveaway.
Yeah, there's generally, I'd say, ways to tell that you're looking at an AI altered.
I just assume everything that I see on social media is fake. Videos that they were staged.
Good way to think about it. Yeah.
And that way, like,
I think every video
laugh.
Is fat.
Right. I can still laugh at them. Like, they can still be funny. But they're not as crazy and cool and oh my gosh as they want you to believe they are, because they were all freaking staged.
Yeah, and that's really ruins the experience. By the way, I just downloaded TikTok.
Why?
Because I feel like there's a big audience on TikTok.
Are you going to start TikToking?
I'm completely overwhelmed. I haven't made a video yet. Just like seeing like my friend scrolling through like the video, it's overwhelming.
Are we going to have one for the show?
I don't know. That was the point. Is I was like,
why don't you do it?
We should have one for the show. I don't know if I'm cut out for TikTok.
The afternoon show.
Maybe we should
on
have
TikTok.
We should have our young person run the TikTok. It's a young person's game. I'm flipping through it. I'm like, what am I looking at here? Like, I feel like the more you like stuff, it like tailors to you.
Oh, absolutely.
What it's going to show you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm not
careful. I hear you have a history of those. Problems.
I do. My Instagram
bum reels, bum photos or something.
It's not just that. I mean, it's, you know,
oh, the
front
other stuff,
front and back. Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, it's for me. It's weird. It's like this weird mix. Excuse me, I'm fighting a cold here. I've been fighting it all week. It's a weird mix of like stand-up comedy clips, Larry Bird highlights, and big booty hoes.
And
like
porn.
That's really it. I mean, that's what my Instagram.
You're a complex individual,
and I've not even I realized, okay, the algorithm's like talking to me now, so I stopped liking all that stuff. You know, I'm like, all right.
Well, you didn't stop liking it. Cora.
Not liking
you
it in my mind.
Like
I tapping like on the app. And it hasn't made a difference.
Tapping that app anymore.
I'm still seeing the same thing over and over again. I'm trying to
because it knows you.
Expand my horizons. It knows
it's smarter than you.
And TikTok, I think, is smarter than Instagram. So it's going to know exactly what I'm into. And I'm not really okay with that.
So then just delete it.
I probably will. I
liked the idea.
I've only had it for a couple of weeks. I'm already completely overwhelmed.
If we're going to be a new show, we might as well have new technology, new social media.
And also, like, a billion people are on TikTok.
Right.
There's no reason not to be.
And it's pretty much
that I'm old and scared.
It's just videos now, right? You don't actually have to do TikToks anymore. The things my daughter used to make me do with her, like, stupid, hey, you watch this, and now you mimic it to the music.
Oh, there's always going to be challenges.
Well, yeah, that's
TikTok
the problem.
Challenges, yeah.
That got a lot of kids in a lot of
schools
in a lot of trouble.
You can go live on TikTok, right? Like we could broadcast the show on TikTok if we wanted to.
We could?
Yeah.
Should
just like going live on Instagram. You can go live on anything.
Huh.
Yeah. And going live on TikTok, I mean, there's a bigger audience there, so maybe that's...
Well, theoretically.
We should be doing 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. We will continue with our Red Sox conversation right after this.
This is The Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
(617) 779-7937 is your phone number. It's the WEEI Afternoon Show. Christian Arcand, Andy Hart here with you. As the fans continue to file in here at Fenway Park, Red Sox and the Blue Jays, I'll be honest with you, Andy. I have not seen that many Blue Jays fans. I've seen a few. I've seen a handful. But yesterday,
you Vlads,
there were a lot more, it seemed like, the last couple days. I thought it just when they panned the crowd, I saw a lot of blue in the game that 2 days ago, not the makeup game, but the second one. It seemed like it was all Blue Jays fans there just because the Red Sox fans probably didn't have much to cheer about, I guess. But, like, I'm not seeing as much of that today. So maybe this is maybe the Canadians only had the one game that they could go to, and now the Red Sox fans are going to take their park back. I hope so, because I'll be honest with you. I don't like it, but I get it when, like, Dodgers fans come here and take over because the Dodgers are good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's a team that has a fan base that's fired up. The Yankees, the Orioles, the Mets, the Padres, whoever. The Blue Jays? Like, the Blue Jays suck this year. What a tremendous letdown they've been. And I thought the Blue Jays were going to be a team competing for the AL East. I really did. I thought that this was going to be the year that they sort of put it together. They had good young talent. They had what I thought was a decent pitching staff. And they really, this year, Tampa too. I mean, those are two teams that were massive disappointments and sort of kept the door open, you know, enough for the Red Sox to go on the run that they did at the end of the first half there. The Red Sox were a 500 team most of the first half of this year. And no matter how bad things looked or how good things looked, they'd always sort of get right back to 500. And that's what it was until the last couple weeks of the season or the last couple weeks of the first half before the break when they really got, you know, they really got hot and they really started looking like a team that could compete. And then the second half happened. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you could watch that team from July 14th up until the All-Star break and not think that they could be a playoff team. I don't know how you could do that. Like, I thought they were really putting it together. I thought Alex Cora seemed like he was pulling these guys in the right direction, and they had enough talent and enough ability, enough spunk, all that to kind of keep this going. And then I don't know what happened. That the All-Star break, Jaron Duran's the MVP of the All-Star game, and I feel like nothing good's happened since.
Well, I mean, I think it gets back to my skepticism and the belief that, you know, sometimes what you're – Jackie Bradley. That's like saying, I don't know how you could watch Jackie Bradley for that month of May and not think he's one of the best hitters in baseball when he batted 407. And then you're like, wait, what did he bat the rest of the month? One something? You know, he's barely a two something hitter. And
that's going from sucking to being really good. They were from 500 to being really good. That's different.
Right, but it's the sustainability thing. It's why I think baseball is so, like, you can't, in my opinion, like, sneak into like having a great season in baseball. It's 162 effing games. Like, it is, Cora said earlier, it's a grind, and he thought his team was kind of pressing and getting ground down at times, although he said it was a little overblown, so he kind of had a little
right
talked out of both sides of his mouth there. Like, that's where, and I'm a late adopter, I guess. Is that what they call it in technology when you don't like go out and get the first of something? You're like, oh, I'll wait to see generation two of that electric car to see if it lasts or whatever the new technology is. And in baseball, more than other sports, I'm a late adopter. Like, I buy into phenoms in basketball, phenoms in football. In baseball, show me a year or two that you can get through 162 where before I go, okay, that's who you are. You really are actually a 300 hitter who hits 28 home runs and drives in 100 runs. Because I just think it's so hard. It's that long-term stability. A lot of guys, the Dahlbeck thing, Daubach, like, there's been so many guys you think. Mine was early. I always use this example, and people love it. Phil Plantier.
I loved Phil Plantier.
Me too.
Oh, that guy used to hit bombs.
He was awesome.
Oh, man.
And he wasn't.
That stance, that crouch stance.
Yes.
Loved Phil Plantier.
Loved it. That, there was an August and September. He and Kevin Moss were the up-and-coming guys. It was Kevin Moss and Phil Plantier. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was like, oh, my God, if he hits whatever it was, 18 home runs in August and September, imagine what he's going to do with a full season. That's when little fat Andy learned the lesson. That doesn't always work that way when you take those numbers and project them over 162.
Plantier.
In fact, it often doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. Plantier, Jack Clark, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
The Red Sox signed him, and he was their power hitter, and it was like, oh, wow, look at this guy's hitting bombs.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, you'd strike out every at-bat for like 3 months.
Yep.
By the way, this hour of the WEEI Afternoon Show is brought to you by Cars for Kids. No more stressing over your old vehicle. Donate it today and get it picked up tomorrow. It's the easiest service out there. Donate online at carsforkids.org. That's cars with a K. Before we get to our little bonus baseball action here, as we will be taking you right up until Red Sox pregame with Joe Weiland,
yeah,
Mutual pregame show, which begins at 6:10. Any final Patriots thoughts before we get the big announcement tomorrow?
I am so rooting for the big announcement to be Drake May. It's no chance.
What a twist that would be.
It would be The Sixth Sense.
M. Night Shyamalan.
100%. The Sixth Sense. And you're going back. Now we'd have to go back. And like in that movie, when you're trying to find if it really worked, and you're like, son of a bitch, it actually did really work.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be going back now to every Gerard Mayo comment and action and looking at it through now a totally different lens. Like, oh, he really was going to start Drake May.
Right.
He knew what he would. But
like when the detective's looking back in the wall behind them for all the Kaiser Sosa stuff. Like,
yes.
Yeah, basically that. Like, all the clues were right there behind me.
Right. We would look at it totally differently. Now, again.
The coffee mug breaks on the ground. Like, yeah.
Do we even leave a 1%? Is there even a 1% shot of that happening?
I would say no.
Yeah, I would say no.
Unless there's some sort of intervention. If there's.
Who would be intervening?
Ownership.
But I don't think they want. I think ownership wants him to make his debut at Gillette Stadium. So I don't even think they would vote for Drake May in week 1.
Yeah, well,
I think
what do they care when he makes his debut?
Because I think they want the buzz and the tickets and the people and the whole thing and buy some jerseys because you're at Drake May's first game. And we all know as a parent, you get a little looser with the purse strings and all of a sudden the tens are flying off the shelves at the pro shop and that whole thing. So,
all right, well, so then he's going to play against Seattle?
I don't rule it out. I think it's still week 5. I still have my week 5 Dolphins.
I mean, Jacoby Brissett might get his head knocked off in week 1 against the Bengals, so it's on the table, I would say.
Well, then you put Joe Milton in, according
to Brandon. Yes.
Yeah,
he's the next man up.
He's better. No, I don't
Drake
totally.
May overrated Joe Milton should be the starter.
I don't totally rule out week 2, but I think the more realistic is week 5. I wish there was any part of me that believed we were going to hear Gerard Mayo say Drake May tomorrow.
Yeah.
But hey, you know what? It's good for us. Now we can keep talking about when is Drake May going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And Fitzy and I, when we do the post-game show, can talk about, oh, that was great. When's Drake May going to play? It gives us a storyline to latch on to. Because once Drake May plays, then he might not be that good. And then what are we pointing to or looking for? Then we start talking Will Campbell and whoever the best tackles are in the draft. And we learned that last year. It gets old when you have a top 3 pick and you start talking about those guys in like November.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I do think that the progression and path and story basically of Drake May is going to be a compelling one this season, no matter how much he plays.
Fingers crossed. Ever hear of Bryce Young?
Yeah, sure. But yeah, I mean,
we don't want that.
No, we don't. We don't want him to look like that. But at least Bryce Young, you looked at him, it's a story. You know, okay, this guy, he was lining up behind the guards. Like, he didn't even know what he was doing out there. Like, that was a story in and of itself. If that's Drake May, that's not great, but it's a story. It's something to talk about. So, we do our show and we talk about things.
That's true.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. Joe Weil is here. I just saw him walk in. So we will maybe talk with him and get his take on the Red Sox as they bounce back here, try to continue to bounce back against the Toronto Blue Jays, who I'm seeing more, but it's like they heard me.
I noticed
these Canadian people.
There was a whole family. There was like 6 of them. They all had Blue Jays jerseys.
Yep.
It's like you blew the conch and they all came.
Yeah. Belching up poutine and Timbits and such. And now
what the hell are Timbits?
Timbits? Tim Hortons?
Oh, I think you said Timbits.
It's the, no, Timbits are the.
Poutine is good. You're not.
Poutine's fine.
Poutine.
I'm just saying it's all.
You don't like it?
No, it's fine.
It's just fine?
Yeah, it's French fries with gravy. It's nothing. It's not like they reinvented the wheel.
Yeah, but there's usually other stuff. Like down my way, they make Portuguese poutine where it's got like chorizo on it with the gravy and the
Portuguese poutine.
Yeah,
huh?
It's good.
That's something.
You have a very negative view of some of these things, huh?
Well, it's fine. I didn't say I didn't like poutine. I just think it's a little overrated.
Fine is not a compliment.
It's fine. It's good. I'll eat it. I'm not gonna go out of my way to order it.
I like it when it's a
fries with gravy and cheese curds. It's not exactly okay.
It's a
like,
good appetizer.
It's fine. There's other appetizers I would take over poutine a million times.
Like what?
Like mozzarella sticks, for example. Like jalapeno poppers. Like shrimp cocktail. Like you name it. Oysters. I like poutine's very low on my list.
See, I like it because it's different. You said it a million times. Yeah, you can always get mozzarella sticks. Right?
You can always get fries.
What are you, 4?
Put gravy on them.
Mozzarella sticks is not exactly an adult appetizer.
Mozzarella sticks.
Hey, you watch it over
delicious.
There.
Yeah, you watch your mouth over there. What are you talking about? 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. We'll come back and get ready for Red Sox baseball next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.